Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Let's go around the NFL to keep you in the loop. Brought to you by BioCleanTex.com on Sports Radio 610.
Landry Locker, Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. Figgy Fig here on Sports Radio 610. 713-572-4610. Talking about the Deshaun Watson legal situation, as well as the column in the Washington Post about the Deshaun Watson camp per Tony Busby. Let's go to William. William, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, I thank you for taking my call. I certainly agree that his camp is kind of acting funky. I just don't think it's fair that you're going to compare it to, Paul and the James camp. When Rich Paul didn't meet LeBron until he was 21, and LeBron was 18 years old and was on the cover of Sports Illustrated 2 years earlier. Rich Paul, when he met LeBron in an Akron airport selling jerseys out of the back of his car, you're telling me he didn't see dollar bills there either? I just don't think it's fair to say Rich Paul didn't do anything wrong and did everything right, and Watson's camp is doing everything wrong.
No, so for me, from my understanding, they were friends in high school. So Rich Paul might be older, but they knew each other before. Now, they got to think, LeBron was big since he was 12 years old. He was the biggest thing since sliced bread forever. So I can understand you see dollar signs, but they were legit friends before anything blew up, before anything happened. So that's why I think that differs. So,
and I hate to tell you, are just now, full of misinformation.
There is a story that, you know, he was selling jerseys and he met him when he was 21, when Rich Paul was 21. But let's just be honest. There's a big difference between Rich Paul and Quincy Avery.
It's a big difference. And then Rich Paul is a guy that LeBron put on his they have a genuine relationship, and it happened when it was basically what we're saying, they had a genuine relationship for a long time compared to a guy like Bernie, who within the last 3 or 4 years
LeBron was in high school. LeBron had not gotten, now maybe the AAU squad was giving him some money, but LeBron was still in high school when he met Rich Paul. So Rich Paul was looking out for LeBron It wasn't like a latch on type of situation. And also, Rich Paul has never been a negative. Whenever something's happened with LeBron James, you don't hear Rich Paul's name being brought up as a negative. As you've had, you know, now with Quincy Avery, Brian Bernie, and some of the other guys from Athletes First.
He's not an enabler, like you mentioned. He's a guy that LeBron brought on his staff, said, hey, if you go about your business and get your credentials A, B, and C, I will make you my agent. And that was the setup from jump. So he went, got his credentials, did what he had to do, and now he's taking off in one of the best in the NBA business.
713-572-4610. Wood, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing? Hey, I want to let you know, Landry, if you and Lopez, y'all been talking about trading Deshaun, and even Lopez was talking about the possibility of cutting Deshaun. Doing these type of situations here, I'm looking at this like this is my son, my daughter. They put themselves in a bad position. Now you got to handle this position. You got to deal with what's going on. You don't just disown your kids. We're not just going to disown Deshaun. What we're going to do is we're going to work through this. The organization, they need to reach out once again. Talking about the head coach, not Jack Easterby. We don't want him reaching out. Talking about the head coach, you need to reach out to Deshaun. Let him know. We know right now is a tough time. We know he's going through a lot of things. Now, when it comes down to his image, don't worry about your image. You know, things like that. Don't worry about your endorsements, sponsorships, anything like this. Just like Ray Lewis, just like Michael Vick, what you're going to do is you're going to deal with the problem here. Let the legal things go through. Then once you're going to come back, you're going to apologize to the young ladies and to everyone out here what's going on, that you really didn't realize it was going to go to this level. And now you're going to get back out here. You're going to start playing ball. You're going to let your abilities take over, and you're going to concentrate on playing football. Once you get back into the league after your suspension, then you're able to start mending those fences as far as endorsements. And it's going to take time, you know, and things of that nature. You know, your image, that it's going to take a hit right now. But in time, you're going to show you a better man for this. Look at Ray Lewis, the type of man he has become, you know, with all the things he had to go through. You know, same thing as Michael Vick. But the thing is, you have to let young people realize when you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. You can't get through this. You just don't all of a sudden say, well, maybe we need to move on from Deshaun. Maybe we can still get something for him. Maybe we can cut him and move. No. What we're going to do is stick with him. Let him know we can move on.
Well, the problem is, and I agree with you, because, you know, 25, you're far from a finished product. So I agree. But the problem is he'd moved on from the Texans before this even came up. So it's not like the Texans are all of a sudden just saying – we want nothing to do with him. We were talking for months about Deshaun wanting nothing to do with the Texans. He wasn't talking to them, and he wanted out.
I understand that part. And now Deshaun has to look in the mirror because he was in a glass house throwing rocks, you know, and things of this nature. Now he has to also understand he has to ask for forgiveness. He has to also ask people to forgive him. Now he has to come to the Texans and say, you know what? We all have made mistakes in our lives. You know, hey, I'm not looking to move forward anymore. I'm looking to stay right here and show that I can overcome all these things that have happened.
And that's some wisdom right there, Wood. I appreciate you, man. Call. That's a good way. Good that's call. A good way of looking at it. That's a hell of a counter right there. That's some good stuff. Jerry Reynolds, proud of him. He did his homework before, Figgy. I
appreciate your phone call, and I wish you the best. I hope you have a happy new year.
I like that reference right there. Throwing stones in his glass house, the Deshaun Watson reference, because whatever was going on or wasn't going on, I saw a change in Deshaun after he signed that deal. I saw a change in the stuff that Deshaun was saying. The guy who went from, let me give my check to these two cafeteria workers, to the guy who was saying separate yourselves from people in your circle that are trying to work the 9-to-5. I don't know if Deshaun's going to look at it that way, but he's looking at things differently in some way, shape, or form. I just don't know if he's looking at the Texans as an organization different. And I don't necessarily know that he should, because if his initial inclinations were he just didn't like the way the Texans organization had functioned the last couple years, I don't know how I can dispute that as someone who's been there from the very beginning.
Do you think it's a good idea for him to go back and say, like the caller said, hey, apologize, I made a mistake, everybody makes mistakes, I want to be here now?
Mistake for what? Being right? I mean, look at how this organization has been running things. Like
he was saying as far as his whatever's going on now, the allegations.
Oh, the allegations.
Right.
I thought you were talking about him wanting out of Houston.
No. I think he was just talking about me. I'm just saying, like, should he go back and say, hey, I need some help, I made these mistakes, I don't want to go nowhere, I want to stay here now. Should he go about it that way?
See, I think there's a lot of moving parts to this. And 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Because I think part of Deshaun Watson wanting out of Houston, outside of it's just been the most dog-butted run organization since Jack Easterby got here to 2020, is that I think, and you heard this, and I think this was Brian Burney probably leaking stuff for Athletes First, the brand, the global brand, and New York would be a great place to expand the brand, you know, all that type of stuff. Legendary. There's got to be a timeout, and you just heard Wood say it. There's got to be a little bit of a timeout in trying to take that much of a leap. Right now, you just want to get back on the field, and you just want to better yourself. Regardless of what did or didn't happen, that's what you want to do right now. Like this whole like expand brand and King of New York and Miami and all that type of stuff. It's a different situation now. The organizational flaws are clear, but as far as the goals of getting out of Houston, if there was more to it than just the on-field perspective, which you can understand as well, but if there were goals to like expand the brand, all that, that ain't happening anytime soon. I'm not saying it. I'm not saying that it can happen. that it can't happen because anything can happen. And Deshaun is a young guy,
right,
and there's
right.
plenty of time. And be honest, I know people roll their eyes when you say this. Nothing but an extraordinary young man is all that we thought about Deshaun Watson. And I know that that doesn't mean that he can't do the things that he's being accused of, mm-hmm. but that's all I knew Deshaun Watson as. So regardless of what did or didn't happen, that's what I knew him as. But even with that said, no matter what happens, he ain't going to be on a New York billboard or something like that and on a Beats by Dre and Nike commercial this year. Like, it's going to be some soon. Sort of process.
No time soon. That's interesting, man. That's interesting. That was a great call, Babu. I just keep thinking. He burned. I want to say he burned the bridges for as far as Houston, but I think that's done. Like, he can't go up there. Or they've reached out tons of times trying to get in contact with him, And we all have been on here like, yeah, hey, I get why he's not answering. I get why everything's going. He just really wants to get out.
I don't know if that was the right approach or not. I just saying his frustrations were right. I kind of think his camp kind of got a little bit weird with this, where it was like.
They got the big head.
I mean, I think whenever Deshaun, and this is what I think, and this is, I don't have any inside information on this. I think whenever Deshaun Watson would tweet a future lyric, or something like that, I'm pretty sure he was getting texts from like Brian Burney or them. Oh, laughing emoji. Oh, ha, ha, you got the internet mm-hmm. going nuts. Everybody's doing this. Like, they're trying to add some fuel to the fire, I
yes,
think.
Yes, man.
713-572-4610. Larry and Stafford, you're on In the Loop with Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Cecil? Hope you're doing well, man. I'm not going to say what's up to you, Landry, because you don't like it, so we'll keep it moving. Look here, man, that was a brilliant call that the last caller just made about, you know, you don't just throw your kids away. Let me say this. Hey, Landry, have you talked to anybody in the Watson camp yet?
No comment.
All right. I can appreciate that, because here's the thing, man. We keep talking about what his camp is or isn't doing. This is going to take Deshaun Watson, who's the leader of that camp. Deshaun's going to have to do exactly what the young man just said and what Cecil just said. It's not that my mama told me a long time ago, the same road that take your ass there will bring you back. Mm. You have to have some humility to yourself. If you Deshaun Watson, when you look in the mirror and say, okay, I put myself in this bad position, and it's going to take myself to get out of it. Look, Deshaun Watson only need to pick up the phone and call two people, Cal McNair and Janice, and explain to them that he had become somewhat a little foolish. He's still young, and he's trying to mature. And what he wants to do is get his butt back in that locker room, get back out on that field, and play football for the Houston Texans. Because, again, I'm on record as saying it does not make sense to move Deshaun Watson this year. You never sell a stock when it's low. Baby, you try to sell it when it's high. And I still think the fact that he's a franchise quarterback and at 25 years old, that he is somebody that can get back out there. Because like the caller said, we've seen multiple people in the NFL go out and do some silly stuff. Leonard Little or whatever, when he murdered somebody, one of the Baltimore Ravens, hit somebody in Miami with their car and they accidentally killed someone or whatever. Dante Stallworth, I think it was. So these things happen. This Deshaun thing was a maturity thing. He got caught. He's going to have to apologize to Jilly and the 40 masseuse. He's going to have to pay Rusty Harden $400,000 and then going to have to settle up with these ladies. And then he's going to have to humble himself and get back out there and start learning from these mistakes. Because if you are really ready to get rid of a quarterback like that, you are sadly mistaken, because it's going to be hard to get another one. And y'all can sit up here and try to sell it, but it took us 15 years to get him. Real quick, before I let y'all go, I don't know what the hell Kyle Tucker was doing last night trying to swing that changeup, but his silly ass left a lot of people on bases and, again, cost us some games. Come on, Kyle. You can't sit over there and try to hit changeup and then sit there and watch a fastball or inside pitch go right by you with your bat on your shoulder, man. We're going to be all right because it's 162 games, but you're going to have to pick it up, Ted. Landry, Cecil, y'all know what we do out here in Stafford, and I'll holler.
I got Larry right there.
I love Larry.
Yeah, look, this is the reality of the situation. I don't have a job without Deshaun Watson. Like that, like guys like Deshaun Watson and athletes like that. So, yes, they're under a microscope, but that's why they get paid the way they do. but he is a 25-year-old. That's not an excuse, but I'm just saying, regardless of what you did, regardless of what you didn't do, you're not a finished product at 25 years old. You're not even close, especially when you throw all that stuff in. So if Deshaun Watson, if the legal troubles are just going to get worse, if the worst is behind him and there's going to be more of a possibility and more of a path towards repairing himself emotionally, professionally, et cetera, regardless of what happens, if you're worth the bleep, you don't max out at 25 years old. Unless your name's Josh Ennis. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. Let's keep the calls coming. Let's talk about Cal and Jack Easterby's bailout next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
That pick is going to be the most fascinating pick we've seen in a very, very long time.
Landry Locker, Cecil Shorts in. For John Lopez, Sports Radio 610. That pick, of course, is the pick that's going to be made in 2 weeks. Number three overall selection, originally going to be the Texans pick, but now it belongs to the San Francisco 49ers by way of the Miami Dolphins because of the Laremy Tunsil trade. How much of a nightmare would it be for the Texans if they had that number three overall pick? They love Justin Fields, but Justin Fields refused to come here because he has David Mulugeta as his agent, and Mulugeta did not want Fields to play for the Texans because he had just forced Deshaun Watson out of town. Of all the disasters that have gone on PR-wise with Cal McNair and Jack Easterby, how much more of a disaster would that be if you sprinkled that into the conversation that we were having 2 weeks away from the NFL draft?
That would be awful, because now it's not just NFL prospects that don't want to be there, especially from a quarterback standpoint, but that could lead on to, because he represents other guys in the league. So for when free agency comes up, he can say, hey, we're not going there. They didn't treat D-Watt well, or they didn't, whatever the case may be. So he could have hold on many of players and refuse to make or do business with those guys. I think that, to me, that's a little much. I wouldn't say far-fetched, but that's a little much, but that would be crazy.
I mean, if you're feeling yourself, and I think there was a time, if you talk to people close to the Watson camp or that close enough to the Watson camp, I'll just say, if you talk to them, I think before all this came out, there was talk about this being kind of a pioneer move by the Watson camp. By the way, one of the loopholes is asking, what does the Watson camp mean? Basically just his business manager's agent, that type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's not like it's that's what we're talking to. But there was talk of this being like kind of a pioneer type thing where an NFL player, a quarterback in his prime at the age of 25, was forcing his way out of town, out of his situation, much like the NBA. Because I think the NBA, the product of the NBA, I think fans are kind of put off by it. But I think if you're a player and an agent, you want that.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't want it like that?
Yeah.
To where anytime you get ticked off, you can just force your way out. Like, you want that.
Yeah.
And I think it was being presented as that type of thing and that type of situation. You heard Jim Trotter hint that maybe there was a documentary being made and every move.
They were trying to make history.
Calculated. Yeah, they were trying to make history. So if you're doing that and you're feeling yourself and you're feeling like you're somewhat of a pioneer, why the hell would you let Justin Fields then go to the Texans?
Yeah.
After you forced Deshaun Watson out. Yeah. I just find it hard to believe that if the Texans like Justin Fields, they had his number three overall pick, that Mulugeta, if he was feeling himself like that and making that much of a power move, that he would let Fields come here. And that would be a nightmare for Easterby and Cal McNair. Nightmare.
That would be awful. I could imagine what thought process would be like. We lost Watson, now we can't get this guy. That would be terrible. I feel for the fans if that ever would have happened. Like, that would be, oh, man. They'll be pretty pissed.
You're already losing your franchise quarterback. Yeah. You probably bought his jersey. You felt you went and got the season tickets, got in the waiting line. You ride and die with him no matter what. And then all of a sudden he's gone. And then you see a guy that you think, well, you know, this guy might have a little something. Come on down. Let's just pass the torch. We could be a lot worse. We're going to pass the torch to Justin Fields. But then all of a sudden there's a not so fast, my friend, Lee Corso style. And it's Justin Fields don't want to be here either.
Full of Eli Manning.
You talk about Jack Easterby getting criticized then. 713-572-4614. 1-0. Let's go to Wrangler. Wrangler, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys.
What's up?
Hey, Cecil, you're doing a great job. I miss J-Lo, but, man, you're always on point.
Thank
and
you,
you too, Landry. You too, Landry. Hey, I was thinking, listening to y'all talking, if we go back 2 months and remember, the issue was Watson upset with the team, and in particular, Easterby, right? So we go back 2 months. There's got to be more to the story there. And considering everything that's happened, and again, I think there's always more to the story. And in many ways, a lot of folks are trying to justify that Watson, it would be okay to have 20, 30, 40 people giving him massages. But it seems to me that during the course of all of that, you would find one, two, or even 10 that were that did a great enough job that you would keep and pay well.
Yep.
So it lends itself to some deviant action or deviant wants.
Wrangler is going conspiracy on us. There's got to be more to it. I don't know what. I think Jack Easterby's just been crappy at his our bad things have happened since Jack Easterby got here. And there's tangible proof that he wasn't good at negotiating contracts, that he wasn't good at evaluating draft picks with Bill O'Brien, and that a lot of respected guys in that building, Brian Gang, Chris Olsen left, and Jack Easterby took on those roles. I think that is a lot of the frustration. I also think, Wrangler, and appreciate your call, I also think that this was camp motivated. Deshaun Watson, while there was a change, I do think he's getting a little push from the camp to maybe stick his chest out, because Deshaun Watson, unless he just did not want Jack Easterby around, he probably should have said that. But if you listen to what he said about him in the past, he's never really had anything bad to say about Jack Easterby, has actually had some decent things to say. He was actually riding and dying with Bill O'Brien. I think a lot of this was motivated by the camp as well, and I think there might have been some pressure on Deshaun Watson to come a little bit harder at the Texans than he normally would. Because when you talk about his silence, I just don't know that Deshaun has it in him to come out here and talk crap about the Houston Texans.
Nope.
I just don't. I think future lyrics are as far as Deshaun Watson can go. I know we were saying, well, that might be calculated. And to a certain point, it might be. But the guy that I followed, just he didn't seem to have it in him to come out there and criticize the Houston Texans like I think his camp would have liked for him to.
I want to say about 80% of it came from his camp. I would go on air and say that much, because Deshaun is not the type of guy that's going to come out and speak bad about anybody, right? We talked about how much.
No, he said he wanted to ride and die with B.O.B.
Like, we talked about how much of an upstanding guy or whatever he is. Like,
he said he wanted Tim Kelly back.
We know he wouldn't do that. This is coming from the camp. The camp convinced him this was a good idea. The camp convinced him to say, hey, let's try to get out of here. Let's push and say this. Let's push and do that. The camp is convincing. This is all coming from the camp, in my opinion. 80% of this is coming from the camp. I've been in situations where
this being the drama before the legal stuff.
Before the legal stuff. Before all this. But all this drama of getting out, you deserve better. We can make history. This can be an opportunity for them to be looked at as far as of them being the best agent and the best, all this other stuff in the background, right? I'm not putting David Mukulega out there. How you say his name?
Mulugeta
out there, nothing like that. I'm saying this is coming from his camp that's pushing it to say, hey, let's make history. Let's go out there and get this done. I've been in situations, and I've never been as big as him, right? Not even close as far as any talent, anything wise. But tough decisions have had to be made, and my agent convinced me, my little small camp convinced me this is best for what we got going on. So I've felt this at a much smaller scale, but this is coming from the camp. No doubt about it. 80% of this was pushed by the camp saying, let's go do this. You deserve better. Ego, not ego, but like this kind of upping them, pushing them up, building his confidence. We can do this. We can make this happen. We can make history. We can change the whole NFL landscape. And then boom.
The most frustrated I've been with Deshaun Watson the whole time that he's been here was when he went up at the podium and he said, I love Bill O'Brien. This is my coach. I'll play for that.
Why?
Man. Because I thought Bill O'Brien stunk. Mm. But the only reason I say that is because Deshaun Watson, despite the fact Bill O'Brien didn't have a play against the Kansas City Chiefs when they were up 21-0, despite the fact Bill O'Brien looked lost when Deshaun Watson had a chance to get to the AFC Championship, despite the fact Bill O'Brien was handcuffing Deshaun Watson as a quarterback schematically, he went up there on the podium and he put his chest out for the guy. That doesn't seem like a guy that's going to force his way out of town.
No, not at all.
And do something unprecedented without someone pushing him towards that mindset.
Yeah. Yeah. This was, and I'm not saying Deshaun wasn't thinking this, but just based off what we know about him, how he presents himself, this was somebody had to push him to get here. Somebody had to convince him to get here. Somebody had to, or a number of people had to convince him, this is what's best for you and us.
713-572-4610 to get in. Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. So you're saying there's a chance next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
Couple OGs called in when we went in and around the NFL. Wood and Larry and Stafford, they threw some wisdom and I think some insight and some good perspective on this Deshaun Watson situation. They got me kind of thinking, is there a chance that if Deshaun Watson changes his camp and if Deshaun Watson progresses as a human, as a professional from here out, again, this is assuming there's no criminal charges, could a reunion between Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans make sense, not just for Deshaun, but for the Houston Texans as a whole? Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez. We'll discuss this in a sec, but before we do, these are the two phone calls that took place a few minutes ago that got me thinking that maybe this could be a possibility and in the best interest of both Deshaun Watson and the Texans.
I want to let you know, Landry, if you and Lopez, y'all been talking about trading Deshaun, and even Lopez was talking about the possibility of cutting Deshaun. During these type of situations here, I'm looking at this like, this is my son, my daughter. They put themselves in a bad position. Now you got to handle this position. You got to deal with what's going on. You don't just disown your kids. We're not just going to disown Deshaun. What we're going to do is we're going to work through this. The organization, they need to reach out. Once again, talking about the head coach, not Jack Easterby, when I'm on him reaching out, talking about the head coach, you need to reach out to Deshaun. Let him know. We know right now is a tough time. We know he's going through a lot of things. Now, when it comes down to his image, don't worry about your image. You know, things. Don't worry about your endorsements, sponsorships, anything like this. Just like Ray Lewis, just like Michael Vick, what you're going to do is you're going to deal with the problem here, let the legal things go through. Then once you're going to come back, you're going to apologize to the young ladies and to everyone out here what's going on, that you really didn't realize it was going to go to this level. And now you're going to get back out here. You're going to start playing ball. You're going to let your abilities take over, and you're going to concentrate on playing football. Once you get back into the league after your suspension, then you're able to start mending those fences as far as endorsements. And it's going to take time, you know, and things of that nature. You know, your image, that it's going to take a hit right now. But in time, you're going to show you're a better man for this. Look at Ray Lewis, the type of man he has become, you know, with all the things he had to go through. You know, same thing as Michael Vick. But the thing is, you have to let young people realize when you make a mistake, it's not the end of the world. You can't get through this. You just don't all of a sudden say, well, maybe we need to move on from Deshaun. Maybe we can still get something for him. Maybe we can cut him and move. No. What we're going to do is stick with him. Let him know we can move on.
Well, the problem is, and I agree with you because, you know, 25, you're far from a finished product. So I agree. But the problem is he'd moved on from the Texans before this even came up. So it's not like the Texans are all of a sudden just saying – we want nothing to do with him. We were talking for months about Deshaun wanting nothing to do with the Texans. He wasn't talking to them, and he wanted out.
I understand that part. And now Deshaun has to look in the mirror because he was in a glass house throwing rocks, you know, and things of this nature. Now he has to also understand he has to ask for forgiveness. He has to also ask people to forgive him. Now he has to come to the Texans and say, you know what? We all have made mistakes in our lives. You know, hey, I'm not looking to move forward anymore. I'm looking to stay right here and show that I can overcome all these things that have happened.
That was a brilliant call that the last caller just made about, you know, you don't just throw your kids away. Man, we keep talking about what his camp is or isn't doing. This is going to take Deshaun Watson, who's the leader of that camp. Deshaun's going to have to do exactly what the young man just said and what Cecil just said. It's not that my mama told me a long time ago, the same road that take your ass there will bring you back. Mm. You have to have some humility to yourself if you Deshaun Watson, when you look in the mirror and say, okay, I put myself in this bad position, and it's going to take myself to get out of it. Look, Deshaun Watson only need to pick up the phone and call two people, Cal McNair and Janice, and explain to them that he had become somewhat a little foolish. He's still young, and he's trying to mature. And what he wants to do is get his butt back in that locker room, get back out on that field, and play football for the Houston Texans. Because, again, I'm on record as saying it does not make sense to move Deshaun Watson this year. You never sell a stock when it's low. Baby, you try to sell it when it's high. And I still think the fact that he's a franchise quarterback and at 25 years old, that he is somebody that can get back out there. Because like the caller said, we've seen multiple people in the NFL go out and do some silly stuff. Leonard Little or whatever, when he murdered somebody, one of the Baltimore Ravens hit somebody in Miami with their car and they accidentally killed someone or whatever. Dante Stallworth, I think it was. So these things happen. This Deshaun thing was a maturity thing. He got caught. He's going to have to apologize to Jilly and the 40 masseuse. He's going to have to pay Rusty Harden $400,000 and then going to have to settle up with these ladies. And then he's going to have to humble himself and get back out there and start learning from these mistakes. Because if you are really ready to get rid of a quarterback like that, you are sadly mistaken, because it's going to be hard to get another one. And y'all can sit up here and try to sell it, but it took us 15 years to get him. Landry, Cecil, y'all know what we do out here in Stafford and our hollow.
It's interesting because if, and this is an if, you think, and we've talked about this over the course of the show after the Washington Post article, if he does separate himself from his camp and Deshaun Watson does do that, how much does that change where he sits with the Houston Texans organization? Assuming, and I think there's context clues and educated assumptions are being made, that the camp at least had a little nudge, maybe a big nudge, at Deshaun Watson to stand his ground and try to get out of Houston. If that's the case, and if Deshaun Watson has a different outlook on things now than he did back then, which how could you not, regardless of what's happened,
right,
and your goals kind of change, is it possible Deshaun Watson plays with the Houston Texans? Is it possible? I'm not saying is it likely, but I think at the very least the possibility, while you could say it's 0.5%, you could say it's 1%, but I say the possibility is higher than it was, and I think it actually makes more sense for both parties now, more so than it did a month and a half ago.
If he separates himself from his camp or certain people from his camp, right? Boom. And he calls and he initiates the conversation with whoever he needs to over at NRG, it's 100%, to my opinion, it's 100% chance he'll be Houston Texans. No doubt about it.
Say that again.
If he separates himself from
cut the music
people
just
in
a sec
camp
for this, Figgy. Cut the music. I feel like I'm a wrestler saying cut the damn music, and I'm about to say something. Say what you just said again, Cecil.
If he's if he separates himself from his camp, a few people in his camp, and turns the page, and he talks to the correct people over at NRG, right? With this all scenario, it's 100% chance the Texans will have him back. No doubt about it. Because they never wanted him to go nowhere. They never wanted him to go nowhere. They always want him as a quarterback. And they know how valuable he is to the franchise, just thinking business-wise, right? So if he says, sorry, I apologize, I had the wrong people in my circle. It's a lot going on right now. I just want to focus in on ball. Just really take away from all this stuff that's off the field. And I know what you guys have done for me. I'm grateful for you guys. If he goes up there and says that, they're going to be like, okay. Let's play ball.
This is no doubt about it.
This is my problem with that, because I like the possibility of Deshaun Watson still playing ball with the Texans. Obviously, assuming there's no criminal charges and assuming that he wants to and the Texans want him. While he might come to them and say, look, the way I handled things wasn't the right way and I did have some pressure, his concerns and his frustrations at the core, and I think a lot of Texans had these frustrations, they were valid. Like, if you go back to how this was run under King Bill, and the fact that they've basically stripped the roster and the core of top-end talent, I don't want Deshaun to just say, okay, what y'all did the 2 years before this was okay, because it's not. In any circumstance, it was pitiful. So I don't want him to at least be at the mercy of them, and I don't want the Texans to feel like, specifically Jack Easterby and Cal McNair, that what happened the 2 years previous, just because of the change that Deshaun Watson went to, I want them to at least have some accountability as well and say, look, we know we screwed things up. Let's just start fresh from here. Better days are ahead. But I don't want this to be like some sort of get out of jail free card from the Houston Texans for how they've run things.
No doubt about
from
it.
From 19 to 20.
No doubt about it. I'm just saying from D. Watson's perspective, okay. Right? From his perspective. Yeah. No doubt about it. They need to say some things as well. Like, hey, we didn't communicate with you well. This could have been avoided, blah, 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 blah. They need to say some things as well. And Nick needs to be in there as well. But from Deshaun's side, if he goes up there and says that and that conversation happens, it's 100% chance that guess what? He's going to be Houston Texan.
I think the most disgraceful thing here, and I don't know if he did or didn't talk to him, but I think Deshaun Watson not talking to Nick Caserio, if he did, they may have had conversations at this point. I think that's unacceptable, because I just think that with the body of work that Nick Caserio has, and you hear Tom Brady talk about him, you hear Cam Newton talk about him.
Yeah.
Like, I've never heard anyone that's worked with Nick Caserio. James E. Hedebo said Nick Caserio controlled his workout, like, and all that. I've never heard anyone, like, in football circles, whether it's a media type, whether it's someone that worked with him, whatever it is, you can minimize and say, well, he had Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. That's fine, but he was still a part of that thing from day one. I've never heard anyone say anything bad to Deshaun Watson. And if he truly just ignored Nick Caserio, that's not a good look, man, and that's not good advice. You could at least tell him, look, I don't want to be here or whatever, but there were reports and there were leaks, and I think it was kind of easy to see where the leaks were coming from, Watson camp. Like, you at least owe Nick Caserio a conversation. It may have happened at this point, but early on, there was a narrative being pushed that he did not want to even talk to Nick Caserio. That's crazy to me.
It's bad business. Bad advice from his camp, because his camp had to be pushing that, tell him, hey, you don't got to talk to nobody. They had to give him the advice, because if I was in that situation with my little small camp that I had, they would say, have a conversation. They would push the agenda, right, whether good or bad. So that agenda was being pushed. Don't communicate with anybody. But my issue comes with, you know, he had nothing to do with whatever's going on here. Whatever your issues are, talk to him, get a feel for him. Because he had nothing to do with whatever the issues that you have with the team.
You know what else I think there's an element to this? And you heard Rusty Harden, you heard his, and I don't know that he was trying to present it this way, but I think if you look at the Watson camp, okay, you got Brian Burney, Lil Burney, out there liking tweets with conspiracy theories and outlandish statements about the accusers. And whatnot. He's unliked them since. You have Quincy Avery, who's supposed to be a mentor to young men, acting like he wants to fight Marcellus Wiley, and talking about Dabo Sweeney, who's Deshaun Watson's coach, with less fire smoke proportion than what we have with Watson, calling out Drew Brees and not giving Drew Brees a chance to redeem himself from like a small slip up. You have Mulligetta, basically calling out anyone that's questioning Dwayne Haskins' work ethic and habits away from the practice facility. And you had Rusty Harden say, this guy lives on Instagram. Deshaun Watson lives on Instagram. You heard him say that. That's a quote, bro. I didn't make that up, see? He said, lives on Instagram. That's what he said. And if you look at his camp,
we just heard it.
Seems like they live on social media. If you live on social media and you're Deshaun Watson, you're not reading too many good things about the Houston Texans. You are not reading too many good things about the Houston Texans. Just go look. Hell, Cecil Shorts can be given one of his female mentors during Women's Week a freaking trip. And in the comments section, it'll say, fire Easterby. F Facts. Bill O'Brien.
Facts.
These guys suck. So if you do live on social media, like it appears the Watson camp does, and like it appeared that Deshaun Watson did, and like Rusty Harden said he did, you're probably not going to have a very good reaction to the Houston Texans. I feel like we're solving all the world's problems right now, see?
He has to get rid of his camp. Not everybody. I don't know all the specifics, right? I haven't talked to anybody in this camp. I don't know who's doing what job is who has what job or what's going on, but who he surrounds himself with, you'll see. If you look at a lot of the good athletes over the course of sports, who they surround themselves with matters. And you just mentioned LeBron. Who he surrounds himself with
matters.
You've never heard anything bad about LeBron.
No.
Not to say he's a perfect human being, but his team is holding him accountable. And he, like Larry and Stafford said, he's holding his team accountable like his team is holding him accountable. It works both ways.
Yeah. If Tony Busby emails you, you probably need to at least take it serious.
Oh, how careless can you be?
Like if Tony Busby, like if you are Deshaun Watson's camp, and you're having email exchanges over the course of a couple days with Tony Busby, no matter what you do or don't think, you should at least do some sort of research to where you know who Tony Busby is. Like maybe Please. A Google search. Like Please. A Google search could help you.
Please.
To where you say $700 million in settlements. No, his net worth is $700 million. $2 billion in settlements. Do some sort of research there.
And I quote, but we are nevertheless happy to continue the conversation around a reasonable settlement figure because we believe he can learn a lesson about having put himself in this situation. What on God's good earth are you doing? You're supposed to be the attorney at First Athletes or whatever your role is. You're supposed to be looking out for the best for Deshaun. And you put that
in an email to Tony Busby? I'm telling you, Cecil, I've never been to Alaska. If Tony Busby sent me an email right now and he said, Landry Locker, this is Tony Busby. I'm accusing you of killing 25 people in Alaska. I don't give a damn if I've never been to Alaska or not. I'm at least giving that some sort of respect.
Absolutely. You're going to do your due diligence.
He will not be describing me as an arrogant jackass when he gets done talking with me like he did in the Washington Post when he was talking about the camp. I've never even been to Alaska. 713-572-4610. Craig, you're on In the Loop with Landry Locker and Cecil Shorts in for John Lopez.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. And Cecil, I think you're right on it about that call being made and talking with the McNairs. But I guess the point with us turning the corner, Landry, I just had a question for you. With the apology that needs to come from the Texans and Deshaun doesn't need to admit that he was wrong regarding the Texans, I think the key part of your statement was 19 and 20, 1 year, you know, during that period where they goofed and made O'Brien the GM.
Right.
You know, and to a degree, some of that was Deshaun. Deshaun co-signed for this guy. You know, O'Brien was the man, you know, but since that, now just fast forward, all that's done. Since Caserio's been here, it's been solid moves, you know, no dumb contracts, you know, everything. It seems like we're turning a corner. It's been pretty quiet over there except for all this Deshaun stuff. But just the constant injection of Easterby, can't we just let that go? It doesn't appear that Easterby's having anything to do with this. Caserio said he's the personnel guy, you know, so...
I'm with you, Craig, and we appreciate you. We're up against it. I didn't want to cut you off. The reason, a shout out to the loophole, some good calls today. I'm willing to give Nick Caserio a clean slate and start from scratch. The problem with Deshaun is a guy who was 24 nothing on the Chiefs en route to hosting the AFC Championship game. And they just completely stripped the roster there. So his perspective is probably a little bit different than mine. You know?
Yeah.
I didn't. It is what it is. It's definitely not a dull offseason. Cecil, it's a pleasure, man.
It was fun, brother. Appreciate you.
You got your hand sanitizer. I see you doing your thing.
I got to end on a good note. I'm glad you didn't bring that up, by the way.
Hey.
We ran out of time, ain't we?
Wait, we ran out of time? Okay. This is... Exclusive mic'd up, courtesy of KPRC2, Cecil Shorts, first day on the coaching job.
Cecil's first day of coaching started in a unique way. In the midst of a pandemic, he was put on hand sanitizer duty.
I never thought I'd start off by giving hand sanitizer to kids. I know you got to work your way up. But no, I mean, you know, any way to keep the kids healthy.
But that's Cecil, willing to do whatever it takes. His ultimate goal, be a head coach and athletic director. And that journey starts here.
Yeah, got to start somewhere, see?
I guess so, man. I figured you could have cut that way short. Love y'all, man.
All right, Cecil, always a pleasure. Tomorrow, Brandon Scott's going to be in, going to be Football Friday. We'll have a think tank. We'll talk about the possibility of Deshaun being a Texan. I'm starting to feel it, and we're talking about those Astros. My gosh, Lance McCullers had a lot of excuses. Will it continue? Will the Astros finally win a game? Only time will tell. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. For Cecil Shorts and for the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at What Do You Do, I'm Landry Locker. We'll talk to you mañana at 10 a.m. But in the meantime, Clint Sterner and Ron Hughley are next.
Thank you, Figgy.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.